Hey, welcome to Second Baptist Church. Thank you so much for joining us today for worship. If you're a guest today, we would love to connect with you in a couple of different ways. If you would go to our website, sbcr.org, click on the I'm New button and fill out that form, we sure would appreciate it. Also, if you're here in person, in the pew back in front of you is a connect card. Please take that out, fill it out, and then as you leave today, place it in an offering plate. Second family, tonight at 5 p.m., we are going to have a focused prayer time here in the sanctuary. So make plans to be here as we pray over needs here in our church as well as in our community. Second family, we're so excited about the past 2 weeks with our Wednesday night activities going again. We've been having kids and young professionals and students. I want to encourage you to be here. Meal is going to be served at 5:30, and then the ministry activities begin at 6 and they'll go to 7. So please make plans to be here with us. Church family, we have an opportunity, a local missions opportunity on April 24th. One Day Serve Local. We'll be doing various ministry activities here in our community. One in particular is a no-sale yard sale, and we need a lot of help with this. We need items donated as well as people there on that 24th to help work that no-sale yard sale. We'll have other opportunities, ministry opportunities in the area. Just let me know or call the office and let us know how you want to help with those opportunities, and we'll get you plugged in. Again, that's April 24th, One Day Serve Local. We'll be getting you more information about that. Church family, as you can see from what I'm wearing today, we have our new Second Family t-shirts in. Be sure and get yours today. Let me know, let someone in the office know, and we'll get you set up with a shirt. There's all different sizes, there's 4 different colors, and if we don't have your size, we're gonna place an order real soon. It is so great to be in the house of the Lord today and to praise God and to hear from His Word. But right now, let's take a moment, pause, and have a word of prayer as God is going to be with us. Father in heaven, we are grateful for who You are, for You are the Lord Almighty, and there is no one like You. We're grateful for what You do in our lives, for You are the great provider. And Father, we are gathered here today to sing praises to Your name for just how good You are. I pray that our worship together today would be sweet, and it would be a wonderful sound in Your ear. Father, I pray that as we examine Your Word and we mine those truths, I pray that You would implant them in our hearts in such a way that it'll change us, and we will leave here full of Your goodness. How we love You. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We just stand as we sing. Praise Him. Praise Him.
Glory, strength, and honor. It's
Romans 5:8 says, God proves his own love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. We're going to sing about that deep love the Father has for us. How deep the Father's love.
How deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure. That he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great
hope this morning, isn't he? Amen.
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished. Jesus Christ, my Lord. could imagine. So great a mercy, what heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken.
Amen. Well, I hope you have your Bible. If you do, turn to Hebrews chapter 2. Excited to be with you this morning and Grateful for the opportunity to gather together and worship the Lord Jesus, and even singing about the resurrection, even though it's not Easter Sunday. It's all right, right? What gives us victory, what gives us hope. And so we want to return back to this Hebrews passage, this book of the Hebrews, and continue our walk through. And you'll remember, Jesus is greater, and His greatness on display as we've walked through this and studied the Scripture together, and just looked at all these different aspects, and primarily these two chapters, the author has been setting up how Jesus is greater than the angels. We primarily focused on that in a few sermons, but really he's laying that out. Even a couple weeks ago, last week we were Easter, and we hit pause, and we focused primarily on the resurrection. But the week before that, the last sermon I preached from this was Jesus greater through humanity, and how Him taking on the flesh, being fully God yet fully man, how His greatness was on display through that. And this morning, instead of greatness through humanity, we're going to focus on greatness for humanity. And all that Jesus, well, not all of, but primarily focus on how Jesus, being fully God yet fully man, accomplished incredible things for you and for me. And so we're going to look at that this morning. So we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 2. We're going to begin in verse 14 and read to the end of the chapter. So if you are willing and able, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? And again, as we walk through this, I've transitioned to using the CSB version, and so that's what I'll be reading from this morning. Now, since the children have flesh and blood in common, Jesus also shared in these, so that through His death He might destroy the one holding the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who were held in slavery all their lives by the fear of death. For it is clear that He does not reach out to help angels, but to help Abraham's offspring. Therefore, He had to be made like His brothers and sisters in every way, so that He could become a merciful and faithful High Priest in matters pertaining to God, to make atonement for the sins of the people. For since He Himself has suffered when He was tempted, He is able to aid those who are tempted. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the truth of Your Word. God, I pray that You would be glorified in this time together. God, give us clarity. I pray You'd speak directly to our heart. Help us to be obedient to what You have for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. And so Jesus is greater for humanity, and that's the focus. That's the drive this morning. And so if you're following along or you're taking notes this morning, the main idea of the text is this, is that Jesus is greater for humanity's sake. Jesus is greater for humanity's sake. The question of the text then this morning is, have you accepted the greatness of Jesus? Have you personally accepted? And we're going to look at the multifacets, five different truths out of this text, and the way that Jesus, becoming fully man yet fully God, how He accomplishes these monumental things for us on our behalf. And these identities of who Jesus is because of Him coming for humanity. And so as we look at this, I want you to question, as we walk through this, have we fully realized this, have we fully embraced this greatness that Jesus provides on our behalf? So with that, number one, Jesus is the destroyer. Jesus is the destroyer. Notice verse 14. Now, since the children have flesh and blood in common, all right, so he's saying humans, humanity, we have flesh and blood in common. Notice this, Jesus also shared in these. Now, we need to hit pause there, and again, we don't need to miss these small statements, because we have a world that will try to tell us that Jesus never claimed to be God. And Jesus wasn't God. He wasn't God come into flesh. And all these sorts of nuances and different ideas. And although this is just kind of a quick passing statement from the author, we can't miss this. He said, in the way that you and I have flesh and blood, Jesus shared in these. He took those on. That was who He is. And now, here's what's interesting. This word shared in these, it's written in a tense that it means a specific point in time. That's significant because Jesus always has been, but there came a day and time a little over 2,000 years ago where He comes and He puts on humanity. He puts on the flesh suit. And that's significant. So as he says, look, as you share in flesh and blood, Jesus also shared in these. And then he explains. So that through His death He might destroy the one holding the power of death, that is the devil. I want you to back up, mark or underline your Bible or your Bible journal there, destroy. He's saying, look, you and I are flesh and blood. Jesus came. He always has been. He always will be. But He put on a flesh suit at a particular point in time for a purpose. And He says here in verse 14, we're going to look at some other reasons, but here in verse 14, He did it to destroy. Jesus is the destroyer. What did He destroy? It says here, so that through His death, here, He had to put on a flesh suit. He had to put on mankind. He had to become man so that He could die, because His deity does not die. He never ceases to be God. He never has and He never will. Amen? Hey, that's a good thing, because that's what our security rests in. Because if God ever ceases to be God, we're in trouble. But He never has and He never will. But here at this moment, what happens is Jesus, who has always been God 2,000 years ago, came in the form of a baby, lived a sinless, perfect life, and here we have it through His death. He had to put on humanity so that He could taste death. Why? He says so that through His death He might destroy the one holding the power of death, that is the devil. You know what happened when Jesus got up? He stomped a hole in Satan. Finished. Finito. That's it. Because of Jesus' humanity and His deity, lived a sinless, perfect life. He died on the cross. Satan thought he had had victory, thought, yes, I've done it and has this power. But that Sunday morning was a doomsday for Satan and any power he thought he had. And he destroyed it. He obliterated it. Says that He destroyed through His death the one that thought He had power. The one that thought He had victory. And let's be honest. He claims some victory. When men, women, and boys and girls don't surrender their heart and life to Jesus. When we don't proclaim the gospel so that folks can surrender their heart and life to Jesus, and they spend eternity without Christ. But dear friend, Jesus claimed the possibility of eternal life when He got up on Sunday morning. He took on flesh. He took on flesh and blood, and that through His death, He destroyed the one holding the power of death, that is the devil. By the way, holding the power, I want you to get that. That is entrusted power. It is allowed power. Only power that Satan has is the power of the lie, but any power that he has been allowed. He didn't create God. He's not bigger than God. He's not able to overthrow God. He is a created being, subject to God Almighty. And the work that was finished on the cross and completed at the resurrection, He destroyed it. We see this in 1 Corinthians 15, 53 through 57. For this corruptible body must be clothed with incorruptibility, and this mortal body must be clothed with immortality. When this corruptible body is clothed with incorruptibility and this mortal body is clothed with immortality, Then the saying that is written will take place. Death has been swallowed up in victory. At the day of my salvation, there's this that I was saved, I'm being saved, and then whenever I take my last breath, because this corruptible body at that moment will put on incorruption. This body that can be destroyed will put on immortality, but when that moment comes, Jesus clothes me in incorruptibility, in immortality, and here is what it says. Death has been swallowed up by victory. What victory? An empty tomb. We celebrate every Sunday. We sing about the power of Jesus. We sing about the resurrection because it's not once a year celebration. It's a 365 sort of thing because it impacts every aspect of my life as a believer. And she says, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where death is your victory? Where death is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is not a victory where we pull our shoulders back and we stick our chin up in the air and we walk around like we're somebody, but rather it's a victory that we humble ourselves before an almighty God because it says, thanks be to God. Because had Jesus not come, you ain't got no victory. Nothing. You and I could not conquer the grave. You and I could not conquer death. You and I could not take the sting of sin away from it. But thanks be to God who has. And so as this morning we talk about who Jesus is. And He is greater for humanity. Number one, He is the destroyer. Number two, He keeps getting better. Number two, He is the deliverer. He is the deliverer. Notice verse 15. And free those who were held in slavery all their lives by the fear of death. So verse 14, Jesus put on flesh suit. He became man so that He lived a sinless, perfect life. He died on the cross and He got up out of the grave. He did it so that He would destroy the one who has the power, that is the devil. But He didn't just stop there, but He says, then set free those who were slavery, who were in bondage all their lives to the fear of death. Now listen, I realize that very few of us in here would probably struggle, to be real honest, to say that there was ever a time in which we feared death. Because that's admitting weakness. And by all means, we can't admit weakness. And certainly there are certain times where we're in the prime of our life and we're 10 foot tall and we're bulletproof and we're invincible. But I believe if every one of us is honest, or are honest, that there was probably some point in your time before you became a Christian that you feared death. You may even still fear death. You may struggle with that. I did as a young teenager. And now that fear comes out in all sorts of ways. Sometimes it comes out in anger. It's what happened with me. Teenager, I was a very angry person. Some of you don't know this. I've shared it at times. There were times as a young teenager I struggled with suicide. There were times as a young teenager I remember being so upset that I laid in bed. I had a trundle bed and that single wide mobile home, and I laid in bed and I took my own fist and just beat myself up. I was just that angry. Sometimes it comes out in depression. Sometimes we get really good at covering it up and chasing the American dream, where we're looking for all sorts of things to suppress fear, to suppress those feelings, to cover those things up. That we're always looking to advance in our career. We're always looking to try to make enough money. We're all these things chasing just busy life. And dear friend, God sent me here this morning to tell you that you don't have to live your life like that. that Jesus not only came to destroy the power of the one who had over death, that is the devil, but then he came to set you free. That a holy God will meet you right where you are. He will interrupt your life. And there will be a holy collision that will do a work in your life that you never dreamed of, you never fathomed, you never imagined. And this morning, the holy God who got up out of that grave will set you free. Some people looking around questioning, how can I get out of this mess? Listen, it describes, it says, and free those were held in slavery all their lives by the fear of death. That's bondage. And we look around and we question why the world does what it does and why the world looks like it looks. They are in bondage. Apart from Christ, I would be in bondage. That's the idea, that they can't quit doing what they're doing. If they could, they would. If I would have could have stopped drinking, I would have. I saw the destruction. The drug addict, they know the destruction. They can't get out of it. The addict, the alcoholic, all those things. The sex addict, they would get out of it if they could. That's why we call it bondage. But listen to me, friend. If you will come to know Jesus, who is a thrice holy God, yet fully man, died on the cross, bore your sins, got up from the grave, if you will surrender your life to Him, He will set you free. You remember the Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. This morning, I want to introduce you to truth, and His name is Jesus. As we live this out, and we know many of you, I realize many of you know Christ. You've been walking with Jesus. Brother Bill Wester, it was good to see him here this morning. He got a quick moment to visit with him. Brother Bill was sharing with me that he was 7 years old when he surrendered to Christ and has been walking with Jesus for a long time. I think he told me, I hope he may fuss at me later, I believe he told me he just turned 86 this year and walking with Jesus for 79 years. Thank you, Jesus. You know what? I want my kids to have that testimony. Be saved at a young age and walk all their days with Jesus. But dear friend, even as believers, sometimes we struggle with fear. Sometimes the enemy creeps in and lies to us, and we struggle with fear. I remember when we first moved to Memphis. Y'all don't forget, I grew up in Ratcliffe, Arkansas. Okay? It ain't as big as it sounds. And it don't sound big, all right? Memphis was a little bit different than Ratcliffe, Arkansas. And inner city Memphis was a whole lot different than Ratcliffe, Arkansas. And little country kid from Ratcliffe, Arkansas, being dropped off in the hood of Memphis, I'll be honest with you, right at first there were times that I was afraid, different, didn't know. And after a few months being there and going a whole bunch of places I never dreamed I would go. 2 Timothy 1:7. I remember just hearing this over and over, and finally one day it just captured my heart. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power and love and of sound judgment. God reminded me that He called me there and called me to serve. And from then on, I didn't struggle with fear going to some places that we did. And it's not because any of us thought we were bad or we were tough or whatever it is. But it's because when Jesus saved me, He came in. And any fear is a lie from the enemy. It feeds us. And the way we combat that is with the truth. And Jesus has not given us a spirit of fear. That's from the evil one. but he's given us of one of power and of love and of a sound mind. And listen to me. God will never call you to do anything that he won't give you the grace and the ability to do. I know we have missions opportunities. We have things of going, everything from going to Ukraine to having a no-sale yard sale. And I realize we need all sorts of folks serving alongside the front lines of ministry in all those different areas. And I realize that sometimes it's tough going, man, I don't know. We're getting ready to start pray and go back up and get out on the streets and go and pray in front of somebody's house or go and try to talk to them about their relationship with Christ and do they know Jesus and their spiritual life. I know that the enemy lies to us, sits on our shoulders, feeds us full of lies, all these sorts of things to try to create a sense of fear. But dear friend, I need to remind you this morning, he not only sets you free from a fear of when I die, then what, but also he has set you free so that you can live this life in freedom of power and of love and of a sound mind. And stop letting fear run your life or control you. So Jesus is the destroyer. Jesus is the deliverer. Number three, Jesus is the redeemer. Y'all have got to listen faster. Verse 16. For it is clear that he does not reach out to help angels, but to help Abraham's offspring. So remember, the context is Jesus is greater than the angels, right? That he made himself lower than the angels, and then God the Father exalts him above the angels. And so this seems like a little bit out of place, but really what's happening is the author is just reminding he hasn't left the idea that Jesus is greater than the angels. But rather he is focusing and he's walking through this saying, look, Jesus took on flesh and blood like brothers and sisters, like mankind, that he might destroy the one who had the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lifetime were subject to bondage. And then he transitions to this verse and says, for it is clear that he does not reach out to give angels. Now listen to me. We talked about this a few weeks ago. And maybe made too light of it last week about the incredible things that angels get to do. Angels help protect. Angels worship in the presence of God. Angels get to be message deliverers at time and declare some incredible things. The birth of Christ. The resurrection of Christ. That God uses angels. They go from one reality to the next, between heaven and earth, and some incredible things they get to do. And they have witnessed a front row seat to the things of God. And there's even this phrase in 1 Peter that describes angels this way. It's talking about this, it's in the context of salvation. And Peter writes this phrase, the things the angels desire to look into. Now listen to me, I'm going to get here because I'm going to pitch a fit, all right? What is it that the angels, these celestial beings that get to go to and from the manifest presence of God, get to spend all eternity in the presence of God, get to worship God, get to declare the messages of God? And 1 Peter says this, and I think it's alluded here in our passage in Hebrews in verse 16, things the angels desire to look into. This says that he came to free those, not of the angels, but of the seed of Abraham. What's he saying? He's saying that mankind, and Galatians 3 defines who the seed of Abraham is. It's not just the Jews, he told the Galatians, but rather it's all who come to Christ. And so what is it that the angels, all this incredible celestial being that sometimes we lift far too high, what is it they desire to look into? Listen to me, dear friend. The day in which you surrendered your heart and life to Jesus, can you imagine all of heaven's creatures, the celestial beings, the angels of God, looked down at you and looked, and it says that they desire to look into those things. Can you believe that? That heaven's creatures look at you and they are jealous for you because God is jealous for you. Listen to me. They have seen the front row work of the mighty hand of God. But they have not experienced God's redeeming love. They can't see, blessed Redeemer, Jesus is mine. They can't sing, listen to me, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. But it says he came to free those. He came after those that are not the angels, but of the seed of Abraham. Jesus came to redeem. Jesus is the Redeemer. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. And that is why I suffer these things. But I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to guard what has been entrusted to me until the day. That he came to, not to reach out, not to help angels, but to help Abraham's offspring. And this is the picture of salvation. This is the picture of redemption. That Jesus put on a flesh suit. He became fully God, lived a sinless, perfect life, died on the cross. He became fully man, as fully God, lived a sinless, perfect life, died on the cross, raised from the dead, to bring about redemption to mankind. And Paul writes to Timothy, he's saying, look, I know what I've committed. That is my life to him. And he said, I am fully persuaded that he'll keep it up against that day, right? It means that we'll never lose that salvation. Everything we've ever surrendered to Jesus, we won't lose it. Isn't that what Jesus said? The man who seeks to keep his life will lose it, but the man who seeks to lose his life for my sake will keep it. You've never given anything to God that's been lost. Did you hear me, church? Your soul, your time, your resources, your talent, your opportunities. You've never given anything to God that he hasn't redeemed. Why do we hold on to so much? Jesus is the Redeemer. Number four, Jesus is the Intercessor. Jesus is the Intercessor. Listen to verse 17. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers and sisters in every way. So not only did he take on the flesh suit, he took on the flesh and blood, but he had to be made like his brothers and sisters in every way. Why? So that he could become a merciful and faithful high priest, mark or underline high priest, in matters pertaining to God, to make atonement for the sins of the people. So number four, Jesus is the intercessor. Jesus is the intercessor. What's the picture that's here? The picture is of the faithful and merciful high priest. Marker, jot this down about high priest, but high priest equals bridge maker. The basic fundamental idea of a priest, the definition basically is to make a bridge. And so what's the picture then here? He had to be made like his brothers and sisters. He was fully God, had to become fully man. So that he become a merciful and faithful, and that means in his activity, his ministry back to God, a faithful high priest. What is that? A bridge between mankind and a holy God. See, because without that bridge, you and I never could get to a holy God. There's a great gulf fixed between us and him. Apart from the redeeming work of Christ, we all fall short and we all fall into an eternity without Christ. Because God is a holy God, and God demands righteous judgment upon sin and a redeeming work for our sin. And because Jesus came, he took our sins upon himself and offers that salvation, and he is a merciful and faithful bridge maker between us and God. He is our go-between. He is our intercessor. Why did he do it? To make atonement for the sins of the people, the propitiation. So Jesus lives a sinless, perfect life, died on the cross, raised from the grave. He then enters into the Holy of Holies to make propitiation, to be a bridge maker between mankind and a holy God, to offer, to provide the sacrifice for our sins. Now notice this. Look at verse 17 there, and I want you to circle this. Circle sins of the people. Sins. Notice the writer did not say atonement for the sin of the people, as if some ideology, some thought, some idea that's hanging out there, but rather for the sins specific to you and I, specific to what we have done. That Jesus did not just die for some abstract concept of sin out there that you and I have, but rather He died specifically for your sins and my sins. How deep the Father's love, that my sins would hold Him there. That it was my voice among the scoffers. That it was my sin that brought His death. The song says, of this I cannot answer. Why? Other than His love. That God loved you so much that He gave His Son. That you can have eternal life. That you can have a redeeming relationship with Him. Hebrews 9:22 through 28 gives us a fuller picture of this. According to the law, almost everything is purified with blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. See, there we are lost without Him. Therefore, it was necessary for the copies of the things in the heavens to be purified with these sacrifices, but the heavenly things themselves to be purified with better sacrifices than these. What's He saying? Let me hit pause. He's talking about the tabernacle, the temple and those things on earth, the annual festivals, all that thing that the Jews practices. He said those were copies of what is real in heaven. He said, so while the Lamb of Goats seems to appease things here for a year, but rather in the heavenly places, there demands a real, innocent sacrifice. And so the better sacrifices. Then he goes on. For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made with hands. He's saying he didn't go into the temple that's here, only a model of the true one, but into heaven itself, so that He might now appear in the presence of God for us. He's going in as a high priest. Remember, He's a bridge maker. He did not do this to offer Himself many times, as the high priest enters the sanctuary yearly with the blood of another, because they just constantly have to do that apart from Christ. Otherwise, He would have had to suffer many times since the foundation of the world, but now He has appeared one time at the end of the ages for the removal of the sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Remember I told you verse 14 that it says that He did this. It was a punctiliar time, a point in time. He has always been God. He became flesh at a specific moment in time, lived the sinless perfect life. He did it one time because in His sacrifice is good for all mankind who surrender to Him. And it's not insufficient. But then He goes on. And just as is appointed for the people to die once, and after this the judgment, so also Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for Him. He came one time, lived as a man one time, died as a man one time, raised from the grave one time. And you and I get one life, this side of eternity. And is appointed unto man to die. And after that, the judgment. You and I will stand before a thrice holy God one day. And your eternity will hang on whether or not you surrendered your heart and life to Jesus. Because He is the intercessor. He is the faithful and merciful high priest in things pertaining to God. Have you surrendered to the bridge maker? Number five. Jesus is the helper. Jesus is the helper. Notice verse 18. For since He Himself has suffered when He was tempted, He is able to help those who are tempted. Now, here's what you've got to understand. There's a difference between temptation and sin. Sin becomes sin when you give in to temptation. When you do something with temptation. And what you need to understand is because the Bible tells us that Jesus was tempted. He is tempted in all ways as we are, yet without sin. How so? Do you remember that Jesus early at the beginning of His ministry, He fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And after that, Satan came to Him to tempt Him, and he tempted Him three times. 1 John tells us that sin is summed up in three ways. All sin in the world summed up in three ways. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We see all three of those in the Garden of Eden. We see all those come against Adam and Eve. They surrendered. Adam fell victim. He surrendered to that sin. Then we see Jesus, Romans tells us, the second Adam who is tempted in all ways, yet without sin. Because he does not surrender to that temptation. Then he can die the sinner's death because he is no longer dying for his sins, but rather for our sins, right? And then he was buried, he raised from the grave. He is the bridge builder between a sinful man and a holy God because he is the sinful man and holy God. He is the bridge builder. But it doesn't stop there for your salvation and my salvation. Rather, it says because of this, he is able to aid those who are tempted. Church, when you get on your knees tonight and pray to a God who not only died for you, but a God who came in the flesh. Remember, this is where it started, that He put on flesh and blood. Why? Not only to bring about your salvation, but so that He can aid you because He too faced temptation. He is not some God who is seated on His throne that didn't take your redemption personally and calls you to something that He didn't accomplish in Himself. But rather, He is a faithful and merciful high priest. Why? Because He put on the flesh suit. He endured the temptation. Hebrews 4:15-16. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in every way as we are, here it is, yet without sin. Then here's the promise. Here's the approach. Therefore, what? Because He was tempted yet without sin, therefore, let us approach the throne of God, with the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. Listen, dear friend, Jesus didn't save you so that you'd live a tough life all out there by yourself. Rather, Jesus saved you so that you'll come back to Him time and time and time again. And this morning, you may be fighting, struggling with sin. You may be fighting depression and anger and all those things. And we've looked at He's the deliverer, He's the destroyer, He's the redeemer, He's the intercessor. But listen to me, Christian, He is the helper. Don't let the enemy sit on your shoulder and say, you no good, good for nothing. Nothing, hypocrite, all that kind of thing, but rather hear this morning that He came to help those who are tempted. He faced it, and the Bible says, therefore, come boldly to the throne of grace. You remember what grace is? Grace is giving us what we don't deserve. What's He giving us? He's giving us access to the holy God because He is the bridge builder so that you may receive help in your time of need. so Jesus didn't save you to walk this road alone. He didn't save you and kick you out the house and go figure it out. But rather, Jesus saved you. He has placed you in community with other believers. He has given you, He has placed you in a country and given you a language that you have a book in which you can read the very Word of God that corrects and rebukes and trains and instructs. He is giving you the indwelling Spirit of God to convict you, but lead you into all truth and righteousness. And by the way, He is also giving you a direct line to the throne of God. That because Jesus, listen to me, Jesus is a faithful and merciful high priest. You need no other priest. And so, have you embraced the greatness of Jesus this morning? I don't know where your eternity lies. As I look around, I've had a lot of conversations with a lot of you, and most of you have expressed at least portions of your story of salvation. Man, I rejoice in that. Praise God. But it may be that this morning you realize, I've never surrendered my heart and life to Jesus. I've never fully surrendered, given Him everything. I want to plead with you. I want to beg you. Make today the day of your salvation. Don't let pride from anything else. Don't let pride from what somebody else will think or whatever the case may be. But surrender. Give everything to Him. It'll be a decision that you never regret. Only exception that maybe you made it earlier. But give your heart and life to Jesus today. Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus came, He died, He rose, He ascended, and He's coming again. Ask the Lord to save you and be the boss of your life this morning. And the Bible says God will save you. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore You, and God, I pray that all that we say and do today, this time, God, that You be glorified. And God, I pray for those that just struggling whether they've surrendered their heart and life to You. God, I pray You give them grace right now to call out on You for salvation. And if that's you, pray something like this. Say, dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. Jesus, come into my heart. Wash away my sins. Be the boss of my life. Thank You for dying for me. Thank You for loving me. Thank You for saving me. In Jesus' name, with head bowed, eyes closed, nobody else looking around. If you prayed that this morning and you're not ashamed, would you just look right up here at me? Make eye contact with me. Say, Brother Chris, I prayed that and I meant it with all my heart this morning. Church, as you remain in a time of prayer, this is a time for you to respond. This is a time for you to be obedient to however the Lord moved in your heart this morning. I'm going to pray in just a moment, and when I pray, it's going to be time for you to move if you want to move, or kneel if you want to kneel, whatever the case may be. I'll be down front. You need somebody to pray with you, I'd love to pray with you. Maybe you just want to come pray by yourself. Maybe you prayed just a minute ago for salvation. You want to come. Say, hey, Brother Chris, I pray and ask God to save me this morning. I want to be an encouragement to you. Jesus, I thank You for this moment. I thank You for this time. I thank You for our church. And I pray, God, as we take the next few moments and respond in obedience to what You've spoke to us this morning, what Your Word has taught us this morning. I pray this in Jesus' name. It's your time to respond. However the Lord leads you, you come. Stand and sing this to the Lord. Thank you so much for being here. I hope you made plans, those of you seeking to join or interested in joining, being a part of our church. We do have lunch with the pastor today, so I hope that you'll begin to make your way as soon as we're finished here toward the fellowship hall and enjoy that time together. Looking forward to that. We do have the One Day Serve Local coming up. I know some of you follow the state convention, and they've got a different date. We changed the date for us personally just because of some local graduations and other activities going on the weekend of the state convention. So ours is April 24th, so don't let that confuse you. No sale, yard sale, car washes, different things going on. We need a lot of help, a lot of donations for stuff we can use in the no sale, yard sale. So catch Pastor Jonathan, or you can call the office sometime this week. Catch one of us, and I'd love to visit with you about that. As you leave today, we do have opportunity to give our regular tithes and offerings, and I just want to say thank you so much. We set the goal of $4,600 for our Annie Armstrong Easter offering, and so far you've given over $5,700, and so we're just rejoicing and thanking God for that and excited about that as that goes to support mission work in North America. Just really grateful for that. Celebrated that on Twitter this week. Had one of our missionaries on the field just replied and said, "Hey, make sure to tell the church family how grateful we are for your giving." And so it's always a lot of fun to interact with folks who are on the field and that this is going directly to support so they can continue to proclaim the gospel all over. And so thank you so much for being here. Hope to connect with you if you're a guest just grateful for you. Don't forget, t-shirts, they're $7. We have shirts here. If you've ordered some, pick yours up, or we will be placing more, another order. We do have some extras, but in the future. All right, let me pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you. We thank you for all that you are and all that you do. Thank you for the opportunity to gather together, to worship you, to read and study your word, and I pray that we'd be a witness for you. Bring us back safely tonight as we engage in prayer, and we love you and thank you for all things. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.